All right, here we go. It's time for Fast Track, and let's see one side of the coin today. We've got the UCLA Bruins. On the other side of the coin, the Alabama Crimson Tide. John, call it in the air.
UCLA all the way. I'm riding with these guys.
That's it. John wins. UCLA.
John wins. All right.
All right, mates. I will go first. No advantage comes with
none
it,
whatsoever.
As you know. Okay. The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon brought back a live studio audience in New York last night for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic shut down live studio audiences in March of 2020. It was only 58 people, all fully vaccinated, all wearing masks.
Okay.
But it was a live audience, the first time any of the late night hosts have done this. Here's my question. If Fallon can do this, can Broadway reopen? Can Madison Square Garden reopen for Knicks games? They've already let some fans in there. I know these are small steps, but isn't this the blueprint to get sports audiences back? You prove you're fully vaccinated, you wear a mask, and we're off and running. You mentioned that you think you could go to Dodger games and go to Ram games this fall. Isn't this the blueprint to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the blueprint, and more people are getting vaccinated. I actually get my second shot on Saturday, which I'm super excited about. And, you know, Miami, I saw that the Miami Heat are going to offer vaccination-only sections at their games.
Smart.
Which I think is something that could be adopted in other places. And I think it's really important. And I know that whole teams are now being vaccinated. I think New Orleans got vaccinated. Atlanta got vaccinated. I think it's really important that everybody get their vaccination for the sake of all of us. For the sake of all of us. Because I think we can whip this thing if we all get in line and get our shot, as they say.
Get our shot together?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's to you.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to skip that. Okay. The 2017 film Justice League is considered by DC Comics fans and general superhero fans a disaster. It was directed by Zack Snyder, but he was fired over creative differences. Now Zack Snyder has put together a new four-hour cut of the movie.
Oh,
it's called Zack Snyder's Justice League. I watched it last weekend. It is fantastic. John, when you are picking out a movie to watch, what is the time limit you're willing to spend? In other words, this is a four-hour movie.
Zero
Would you
chance.
Ever consider watching a four-hour movie?
No, I have the attention span of a millennial. If the movie is longer than 2.5, it's got to be great like The Godfather or Titanic. It's got to be like an all-time great movie. If not, I'm watching it in sections. But I think your question is more of like, would I go to a movie theater and sit through it? If it starts with a three mace, I'm out. Remember, you had to convince me to go to Titanic. I basically said, no, that's too long. I'm not going. I still haven't seen The Irishman. For me, I can count the amount of movies I've watched that are longer than 3 hours on one hand, and most of them start with the Godfather movies. That's about it.
Yeah. They don't scare me at all. I was not scared going into this one. I'm not afraid to watch a long movie. There's something actually really cool about it. The animation's great in this. By the way, Adam Bronstein, resident nerd, tweets that Zack Snyder was not fired. He left because of a death in the family. That's when Joss Whedon took over and the whole thing went south. But it's definitely worth watching. It is on Disney Plus. No. Which one did I watch that on?
Well,
John?
I get all the streaming services there. Yeah, there are too many of them.
It's on one of them streaming services.
Yeah, look it up and mention it before the end of the segment.
HBO Max. There you go.
Okay. It's to me.
Yes.
All right, Mace, if you ask me, the people at Caesars, the gambling company,
yes,
are about to waste a whole bunch of money. It's being reported that they have purchased the naming rights for the New Orleans Superdome for the next 20 years. $10 million a year for a total of $200 million. Now, I've always had a theory that if you don't get in on the ground floor with naming rights for a building, it doesn't work. Let's put my theory to a test. Jorge. For the past 10 years, the Superdome has had the same naming rights sponsor. Do you know who it is?
Mercedes?
Good. You did know who it was. Okay,
yeah.
So it worked for you. Mace, did you know that?
No, I did not.
Lindsay, did you know that?
Nope, I don't think I did.
Okay, so it's been called the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for the last 10 years since 2011. I think most people just call it the Superdome. If you get in on the ground floor, like Staples Center, that's the only thing that building has ever been called, you win. If not, I think you're out of luck. Mace, would you, if you ran a company, by naming rights to a stadium that had already been called something else.
Yeah, I would, and here's why. What you're really buying is impressions, right? You're buying the number of impressions that people will see of your building. It's not necessarily the way you describe it. If you think about, for example, every time a football game is played there, the announcers, whether it's Al Michaels or whoever it is, will say, "Welcome to such and such stadium." That is an impression. That is worth value. Every time one of your signs is visible on camera, that is an impression. Everybody in that building, whether they call it the Mercedes Center or what, it's still an impression, and that's what ultimately what advertisers are buying.
Right,
is
but
impressions.
The impression doesn't stick? Like, what if it doesn't work? Like, for example, do you even know the name of the building that's right next to our studio? That used to be the Nokia Theater.
Yeah, it's Microsoft Theater.
Okay, so that finally worked for you. Do you? I mean, most of those things, people just we still. Like SoFi Stadium, SoFi was really smart to get in on the ground floor.
Sure.
Where the Chargers played before that, that thing changed names like four times.
Yeah, it did. They finally tore it down. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, they tore it down what we came to know as Qualcomm Stadium, which I did a bowl game there, a USC bowl.
Oh, no, you're talking about in San Diego.
Oh, isn't that where you're talking? The Chargers.
No, I was talking about what used to be the Dignity Health Center over by Cal State Dominguez.
They didn't tear that down.
That's still up. But, yeah, I saw they tore Jack Murphy, Qualcomm, down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you can't get in on the first impression to me, it's never worth it. But maybe to you guys it is. George knew it, so maybe it worked.
All right.
By the way, Mercedes, the reason Mercedes is opting out is that they dumped their naming rights into another NFL stadium. Do you guys know where it is?
Atlanta?
Yeah, because you went to the Super Bowl there.
Yeah, I went to the Super Bowl, yeah.
There you go.
All right. Okay, by the way, Fast Track is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right. Sam Darnold, number 3 overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft, has had a miserable first 3 years in the league, having a touchdown interception ratio of 45-39 while having a win-loss record of 13-25 as a starter. Not exactly franchise quarterback stuff. The draft guru, Mel Kiper Jr., appeared on Get Up on Wednesday to talk about the upcoming NFL draft. He says that there's one quarterback out there, only one, who is available, who is better than everybody except Trevor Lawrence.
Well, there's a quarterback out there that's better than any of the quarterbacks in this draft except for Trevor Lawrence, and that's Sam Darnold. So if I were the Pete Carroll with the USC connection, I'm looking at the Jets and I'm looking at Sam Darnold. If you're going to move Russell Wilson and I get Sam Darnold, I can live with that over any other quarterback in this draft other than Trevor Lawrence, and he's going to go to Jacksonville. So that ain't happening. So I'm not worrying about Russell Wilson in comparison with any other quarterback in this draft. The quarterback I would target would be Sam Darnold.
John, what do you think of his take that if Sam Darnold were coming out right now from school, he would be the number 2 overall pick at the quarterback position?
I love Sam Darnold. By the way, I think anybody that goes to that dumpster fire that is the Jets,
I know.
You can't hold that against him. I mean, Mace, remember that Randy Moss was like this unbelievable weapon in Minnesota.
Yes.
With Dante Culpepper when he was opposite Chris Carter and he did nothing to do with touchdowns. Do you remember where he went right after Minnesota? It was not New England. Do you remember where he went?
Randy Moss.
Oakland.
Right. He went to the Raiders and he was awful. And everybody said, well, Randy Moss must be done. Randy Moss wasn't done. He just went to a dumpster fire. The Raiders weren't organized. And then he goes to New England, and he gets right back to his regular form. I think Sam Darnold can still play. How about you?
I do, too. I think he can be a franchise quarterback. He's off to a terrible start. But as you said, that is the worst franchise in the league. The success is rare. The wins are few and far between, and
they
you can't
get out of their own way. They got bad owners.
You can't say. And by the way, this is one of the great things. He's 25 and 35 or whatever it is as a starter. You can't put all that on the quarterback. Quarterbacks don't necessarily equal wins. You can have a great game and lose it because of a terrible defense.
Now, wait a minute. Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, and Joe Namath all went to dumpster fires, and look how they turned out.
Right, but it does, Michael. Those things can change. Like the Jets, when Joe Namath was there, had Weeb Eubank as the coach. I mean, they were good. right now, the Sam Darnold had Adam Gase, who has proven in two different markets that he can't play, and the owners, the Johnsons, don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, 1-15.
So, plus, John, Michael, it was Super Bowl 3. I mean, it was a long ass time ago. I don't believe the Jets were necessarily a dumpster fire back then.
And by the way, Michael, Troy Aikman went to Jimmy Johnson. It just took Jimmy Johnson a year to get it going. Do you really think the Jets are a year away from being good?
Well, if they got Sala now from San Francisco.
Robert Sala.
Right.
So maybe he'll bring that fire that they need. So yeah, they could turn it around.
Yeah, well, I would not give up on Darnold.
No, I wouldn't either. I like Sam Darnold. I still think he's going to be a starting quarterback in this league.
All right, it's to me.
Yep.
Mace, the people who run the social media department at the Chicago Bears are catching a lot of heat for something they did yesterday. They posted a picture of Andy Dalton in a Bears uniform with the caption, QB1. What happened next was Bears fans from all over blasted the team for not signing or trading for a better quarterback. Had they captioned "Welcome Andy Dalton," they probably would have been fine. But by declaring him the starting quarterback, it has fans crushing the front office for not doing more, and the morning talk shows are all killing the Bears.
Sure.
If you ran the Bears, would you delete that tweet? Would you reprimand whoever sent it out, or would you just own it and do nothing?
I think you just own it. Deleting a tweet really does nothing. Once it gets retweeted or responded to, it really is written in ink. It is your permanent record. So I think deleting it would be a huge mistake and actually kind of pointless. You might as well just own the thing. At the moment, he's QB1. I have a feeling he's going to be QB1 no matter what, and Bears fans are going to have to get used to it. I would not delete it, and I think it was a mistake to send it out. But I do think the Bears are going to wind up with Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback.
What I would do is, and I know a lot of guys who do this social media stuff, and I think it's funny when you're like the guys who do the Kings, the LA Kings hockey team. They're really good.
Funny.
They're really sarcastic. I would send out a picture of Nick Foles today and just write QB1 under that. and so now it's like, which guy is the starter?
You know, QB1A.
Yeah, QB1A. Why not? And turn it into a bit. That's what I would do. It's to you.
All right. And why don't we call it right there? Coming up next for you, Charles Barkley said something I find to be really controversial and debatable this
Shocking.
Morning on the Greeny Show. Yeah, you know how Charles Barkley is. We've got that coming up next for you. It is about James Harden. That's coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And if you're tuning in because you want to know what the Lakers did at the trade deadline, they did nothing. There were talks apparently between the Toronto Raptors and the Lakers involving Kyle Lowry. And at some point along the line, we pieced together that THT was kind of the breaking point in that deal. The Lakers unwilling to include THT. Same with Miami. Miami unwilling to include Tyler Hero. And Philly unwilling to include one of their young shooters. They've got a couple of young shooters. Matisse Thybul is one of them. And by the way, the Sixers are in town tonight, John. And looking ahead at the schedule, the next 10 games, which I was doing, and watching the way this team is playing, I think we're going to have some troubles.
If I was the Lakers, I'd have made two big trades today.
You would have, okay.
What would you have done?
I would have traded LeBron and AD's injuries for healthy bodies.
There you go.
All right, what's
I
the
think
other
that's
trade?
That's a good trade.
That's it.
That was it. Those two.
Yeah, those two.
Any healthy body?
Trade those two injuries for two healthy bodies on them.
Yeah. By the way, Shams Charania reporting that the LeBron injury, the ankle injury, now expected to keep him out for 4 to 6 weeks from the time of the injury, so from last week.
Wow.
So they're going to play a chunk of games without LeBron and continuing to play without AD. All right, so this is interesting. Yesterday on the Greeny Show, which is heard every day here from 9 until 11 on 710 ESPN, Charles Barkley made an appearance. And Charles said something I find to be interesting, but I disagree with, about James Harden.
Right now, no disrespect to LeBron or Giannis or anybody, James Harden might be the best basketball player in the world, period. He is the most awesome offensive player I've ever seen. Listen, Michael and Kobe were better players from the guard standpoint, but as far as offensively, they couldn't shoot threes like him. They were not as great as dribbling the basketball, going to the basket, getting fouled. I mean, this guy, every time he goes to the basket, he's going to hit somebody and get two free throws. But we got to give that guy credit, man. He is an offensive machine.
Wow.
James Harden benefits, I think, from, well, let's face it, there was an analytics revolution that happened somewhere in Kobe's career, and obviously before or after Michael's career. I would argue that those guys would be different players had they played in this analytics era where everything is about the three. Do you agree?
No, because they still would. They would take more threes. Yeah, you're right about that. But they would still play the mid-range and the post-up game because they could play – they could destroy you. Kobe and Michael could destroy you at all three levels.
But do you think Charles Barkley is the – Charles Barkley's right that Harden is the best player in the world right now?
No, he does because LeBron
yeah.
and AD and Kevin Durant, when Kevin Durant's Durant, can also shut you down on defense as well as get you 30 points.
Here's why I'm surprised Charles said that. He knows because he's – always personally being attacked for this, that greatness is measured in championships. And James Harden has never won anything.
As a matter of fact, he's shrunk in the playoffs.
He's wilted right. in the playoffs, yeah.
You know, so if you want to make the argument that LeBron is the best player, that Steph Curry is the best player, that Kawhi Leonard is the best player.
It's another one I failed to mention. You're right.
Yeah, you know, I can see that argument. How are you going to make an argument that a guy – now, if Charles were here, he would say, well, I'm telling you, he's going to win it this year. He thinks that on this new team –
right, this is the one he's going to win.
He's going to win it with – okay, then you can say he's in the conversation for being one of the best players. But, Michael, I don't even have him top five right now.
In the league?
Right. I would.
Who's your top five?
LeBron, one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kawhi, two.
Yeah.
I would say Steph, three.
Okay.
I think AD, now that he's won a title,
yeah, of course,
is on that list.
He's healthy, of course. He better be in your top five.
KD's yeah. got to be on
and
the
KD.
List.
Yeah, KD, of course.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even put – and I like James.
Yeah. What about Lillard?
Same things I've said about Harden, you got to say about Dame. Dame's an unbelievable player, yeah. but he hasn't won yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean
that's how great players are measured.
And for Barkley to say he's the best offensive player he's ever seen – Barkley's got a short memory because a couple of years ago, when he was healthy, I had never seen anybody who could score as easy as Kevin Durant from every level.
Yeah,
would put Kobe right there with him, Michael. When Kobe wanted to score, he's one of the great scorers in the history of the league.
But he didn't do it as efficiently as Durant does. That's
don't you think there's a question about whether Durant will ever be Durant
no,
again?
No, he was already that before this recent injury.
But yeah, but I mean, this recent injury is like the Bo Jackson injury.
He's not been playing. He's been gone for at least a month.
2 months, it seems like.
2 months? Is that what it is?
What is it, a hamstring this time?
Yeah.
Yes, hamstring.
Well, hamstrings are delicate, you know, like ladies.
Boy, how fun would it be, though, Michael, if
– Did you say delicate like ladies?
Yeah, you don't want to treat – yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get canceled.
Like ladies.
Do you not open the door for your wife and pull out the chair for Ireland?
If you open the door for Lindsay, she's going to close it in your face.
Really?
Right? She wants to open her own door.
Really? Lindsay really like that? She doesn't want a man to treat her like a lady?
No, Lindsay would totally deal
chivalry's
with chivalry.
Is not completely dead.
There you
right?
go. No, there you go. See that,
chivalry.
Ireland?
Come on.
Exactly.
Geez, Ireland. You can't say delicate like a lady.
Well, he's talking about a hamstring. You're allowed to say delicate. Yeah. I know. Don't say it, Michael.
Really?
Yeah. I was just thinking it through.
Yeah. I mean, every lady does just fight the MMA.
Michael, you're the one who always fights for women's basketball rights.
Oh,
you
yes.
think that you'd want to be called, those girls would want to be called delicate?
No, those girls are rough.
Right. So that's where we're at.
I'm watching more.
Especially when the NCAA gives them a weight room that has one dumbbell and a yoga mat.
Yeah.
So Michael, does the NCAA tournament sizzle for you? Are you excited about it?
Yeah, I like it. I don't know all the players like I used to, but sure, when the games are on, I always check in the last 5-6 minutes when the games are on, and they're close. Of course, I love watching it. I watched a bunch of the ladies' games yesterday. See, I'm not like you two.
Michael, did you watch the end of that Texas A&M game?
Yeah. Oh, I was so upset for Iowa State.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But you know what,
too.
Though, Ireland? I'm glad you brought that up because I'm sitting there watching the game.
Now, obviously, we don't know.
Okay, hang on a second. What game are we talking about?
Iowa State versus Texas A&M yesterday for the ladies' tournament. Okay. They kept giving the ball to a lady on Iowa State who could not dribble or create her own shot. Their best player was number 21. This girl named, I forget her name, but anyway, she could tell she had the most skills, and they wouldn't give her the ball in the last minute. I couldn't understand it.
Well, you know what you're bringing up, by the way, is why Rondo to the Clippers is a significant deal today, Mace, because Rondo doesn't care if he scores.
Right.
And on that Clipper team, they all fight over the ball. Like, Paul George wants to be the man. Kawhi thinks it. Rondo's just going to tell those guys, shut up, I have the ball, and I'll get you an open shot.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Don't they lose some real offensive pop without Lou Williams?
They lose scoring off the bench. But think about it. They have guys who can score. Like, Luke Kennard can replace Lou off the bench. Luke Kennard's a really good scorer. What they don't have is they're disorganized. They don't, and that's why they lost to Denver last year in the playoffs. They had nobody getting them into sets, nobody taking charge. Rondo is, I hate to say this because, you know, I'm a Laker guy, but Rondo's like a perfect fit for them.
Yeah, he is.
I wanted Rondo to stay with us, but he got paid in Atlanta. So I'm happy for him. And he got us a title, helped get us a title. So it's good. But I think he's really going to help the Clippers. I now feel like the Clippers are going to be probably the 2 seed, maybe the 1, if they stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, boy, can you imagine Lakers-Clippers in the first round if we drop to the 7 and wind up?
Ooh, that'd be great.
Can you imagine? we would get the hallway series in the first round.
Yeah.
The playoffs. That's why you don't want to drop too far. You don't want your opponent to wind up being somebody like the Clippers in the first round.
They shouldn't. But AD gets back, say, what, in a week, you think? Maybe 10
no,
days?
I think
says
that
a week?
May be optimistic.
Yeah.
I mean, I've not heard a week.
By the way, guys, Marc Gasol coming back tonight. He'll be on a minute limit, but he's coming back tonight. And, Michael, because they traded Tony Bradley today, Philadelphia – I think Dwight is going to start at center tonight for the Sixers.
Oh, yeah. You know, he'll enjoy that, going against his former team who didn't want to sign him.
Okay, let's play the game, the schedule game. I've got the next 10. 6 of the next 10 are on the road. 6 of the next 10 are against teams 500 or better. So I just want you to give me win or loss. Win or loss, okay?
And Michael, you go first.
All right.
Home Philly tonight.
Win.
Win.
John, you're a win?
Win, yeah.
Okay, I've got that as a loss.
Okay.
Home Cleveland.
Win.
Win.
Yeah, I've got that as a win. So I've got them on the board once. Sunday, home Orlando.
Win.
Win.
I think that's a win also. I've got them with 2. You guys have them with 3.
3-0.
Home Milwaukee next Wednesday.
Milwaukee's coming here?
Yeah.
Loss, because Milwaukee's
big,
playing great.
Big win. Big win.
John, you're ridiculous. You've lost all credibility.
3-1.
Big win.
I got a 3-1.
Milwaukee is going to be really tough.
4-0.
At Sacramento.
That's a toss-up game. I'd go loss.
Please. We almost beat them the last time. Win.
Okay. Clippers. Road Please. Game for the Clippers.
3-3 for me.
3-3.
6-0.
Okay. At Toronto.
Toronto's lost. They lost Norman Powell.
Yep.
I'd go 4-3.
That team's in shambles.
Yeah,
and they're not even in Toronto. They're playing in Florida. Win.
So you've got them
4-3.
I got them
all right.
4-3.
At Miami.
4-4.
4-4.
8-0. Miami. Oladipo won't be adjusted yet.
At Brooklyn.
Kyrie and everybody's playing, so 4-5.
No,
four
last
five.
Night, last night, Kyrie, Durant, and Harden all sat out. The Jazz were up by 29 at halftime. Win.
Okay, and the last one is at the Knicks.
4-6. I got them 4-6.
They're the Knicks.
Knicks are playing better, though.
Got him. He's Michael's got him 4-6, and he's one of the most optimistic guys there is.
Yeah. Right, I got him 10-0
because they're just not the same team without. They're basically a middle of the pack team without AD and LeBron.
I got him 2-8 over the next 10.
2-8. Well, I got 4-6 at least.
I'm just gonna be.
Ireland's got him going 10-0.
10-0.
Yeah, we only differ
10 game
by
win
games.
Streak coming starts tonight.
Yeah. Well, Michael splits the difference. I've got him 2-8, John. Yeah. You've got him 10-0.
10-0.
5-5
Michael's got him
4-6. Would be really good.
5-5 would be fantastic.
Yeah.
4-6 would be fantastic. All right, coming up next for you, we anticipate checking in with Andy Enfield from USC. Of course, SC is in the Sweet 16. They're playing Oregon Sunday night, and we will get Andy Enfield coming up here next. Mason Ireland, 710 ES.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And the NCAA tournament rages on Sunday night. The USC Trojans, a 6 seed, will face a 7 seed in Oregon in a Sweet 16 showdown. And joining us right now is the head coach of the USC Trojans, Andy Enfield. Coach, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you, man?
Doing very well. Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, Andy, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I'm really happy for you. Your team's playing great. I said to Mason earlier in the show, Andy, I think you can win the whole thing. I know you'd have to go through Gonzaga, but I just think the way you're playing on both ends of the court, I think you match up with everybody. I know you believe that. Do you think your players believe that? Where's their confidence level at this point?
I don't think we're looking ahead. It's game by game. If you lose, you go home, and it's what March Madness is all about. I do think our players are confident in their abilities. I think they're playing very well together as a team. Like you said, on both ends of the floor, defensively, we're playing at a high level. And offensively, we're sharing the basketball and making shots. So I don't think our players even thought about that far in advance. We're focused on Oregon. Oregon is a terrific basketball team, and we'll have our hands full Sunday night.
Does this make the fact that you've already played Oregon and they're in the Pac-12, does this make it an easier matchup, given that you know the opponent really well?
Well, there's nothing easy about playing Oregon, so it's not easy at all, but we are familiar with them because we play them every year. The players on our roster have only played them once because we have 8 new players. 3 of our returnees played them last year as well, so we have some familiarity. It's a little different. Part of the special thing with the NCAA tournament is you play teams from other leagues, and that's why you see so many upsets and teams aren't used to playing each other, and that's why you see some great matchups. So it is a little different to play a league opponent in the Sweet 16, but we're not complaining because it's great to be here. It's just a little different matchup when you play a league opponent.
Andy Enfield, the head coach of the USC Trojans, is with us. USC plays Oregon Sunday in the Sweet 16 for a chance to go to the Elite Eight. Andy, you guys handed Kansas the worst loss they've ever had in the tournament. You won by 34 points. I assume you went into it thinking you could win. I doubt you thought you could win by 34. Why were you so dominant in that game?
Well, you're right. We didn't expect to have that large of a margin. We did expect to win the game. Our players prepared very well. They were very confident and excited to play. However, Kansas was a terrific team. We thought that their defense, they were top 10 in the nation in defense like we were. We thought it would be a defensive struggle. And the first 4 or 5 minutes, I wasn't sure we'd score 50 points the way they came at us with their physicality, their athleticism. And we were able to make some shots. I think both teams started out. We were a little nerves. Once they got the nerves out, we started to make some shots. And so But Kansas is what a terrific team. When we scouted them, wow, we were really nervous because they were playing their best basketball. Had won 9 out of 10. Their only loss was an OT loss at Texas, and they had just dominated the conference, their conference for the last couple of weeks.
Andy Enfield, head coach of the USC Trojans, is with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. How surprised are you, or maybe you're not at all, that there are four Pac-12 teams in the Sweet 16.
It's great for our league. Pac-12 has been very good the last few years. We've been saying that, but the difficulty of the time zone, it's hard for the East Coast and Midwest to see Pac-12 games during the season. When a game starts at 7 or 7:38 p.m. on the West Coast, most people are in bed, and I know that for a fact because I grew up as a basketball junkie in the state of Pennsylvania, and I never watched Pac-12 basketball. I never saw USC, UCLA, Oregon, or any other team in the Pac-12 play because I was watching the ACC and the Big East, and then I went to bed. And,
yeah, you know, Andy, I didn't realize until we got ready for this that you're from Shippensburg. I'm from Altoona, so I know that part of the country really well.
Yeah, so you probably know the feeling of the Pac-12 in the East Coast. It's a little different.
Andy Enfield, the head coach of the USC Trojans, is with us. Andy, Evan Mobley gets a lot of attention, and he deserves it. What a great player. But his brother Isaiah, who's actually older, to me looks like one of the most improved players on your team. He seems to be playing his best basketball. Has he always been that good? Am I right, or am I right that he's kind of gotten better throughout the season?
Well, I think it's very accurate that he's improved. Evan's improved dramatically as well, but Evan's been more consistent. Isaiah has had some very good games this year, but he's started to play extremely high level right now, and he's really improved the last couple weeks. So to do that, to advance in this tournament, you need certain guys on your team to play well. And against Kansas, we had everybody playing well, which is great to see. And so as we prepare for Oregon, we need I think we're 21-0 when three players score double figures for us. That's a pretty impressive stat. 21-0 when three or more players score in double figures. And I think we had five players in double figures against Kansas.
We will be watching for that Sunday night against Oregon. Hey, Coach, thank you very much for coming
on.
We appreciate
Andy.
It. Congratulations on the Sweet 16, and we look forward to more, man.
Really appreciate that. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, okay, thanks, great. Coach.
There's Coach Andy Enfield from USC who – you've got to say, as you go back and think about it, remember who hired Andy Enfield?
Was it Mike Garrett?
No, it was
Pat Hayden.
Pat Hayden.
Andy's been, believe it or not, he's been there 8 years.
He got there the same time that they hired Alford, right? That UCLA hired Alford. I think it was the same year.
Well, and Andy, you know, their name kept coming up in that college basketball scandal trial because one of their assistants was involved in it. And you heard rumblings that if USC didn't play well this year, that Andy might be on the hot seat. Now it's the opposite. You know, now he's built an elite program that's really, really good offensively and defensively. They have that Galen Center, which is one of the nicest buildings
beautiful.
In the country. And he's probably going to lose – well, he is going to lose Evan Mobley.
Isaiah could come back.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to lose Isaiah, but now I think he might. Isaiah's played so well in the tournament that he could go too, but either way, I think he's guaranteed. And same with Mick Cronin at UCLA. I think both those coaches now are going to be here for a while.
I am really shocked that I am doing as badly in our ESPN bracket pool as I am.
What are you talking about? Before you filled it out, you admitted you hadn't seen a game all year.
Yeah, but nobody had.
Nobody here had
seen a game all year.
I'd seen highlights.
I saw highlights on SportsCenter. George Sedano's winning the thing. He's got Gonzaga to win it all. He's in the 99th percentile in terms of success overall in the whole country on all the brackets. Dr. Clapper is next, then Keyshawn, Ireland.
Aren't I tied with Keyshawn?
Yeah, you, Travis Rogers, Kellerman, and Keyshawn are all tied.
And then you and Michael and Lindsay are in the bottom five.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Scott Kaplan's got the worst, and for some reason he had...
Wait, is he below Morales?
No, Morales is last.
Okay.
Morales is last. Poor Chris. Feel badly for him. No, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. No. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Lindsay's got it for us. Coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Here we go.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But it's time for Radio Tinder. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. Using something that Mason loves so much, artificial intelligence.
Yes.
The technology behind deepfake videos is helping people bring images of their loved ones who have passed away back to life.
Oh, that's nice. Wow, creepy.
Oh, that's creepy.
Genealogy, it is kind of creepy. Genealogy site MyHeritage has put out a tool called Deep Nostalgia to animate movements on faces in photographs. The app uses kind of AI technology called deepfake to create hyper-realistic movements of stills. Is this intriguing enough for you to try it on old photos of family members that you've never met? Swipe left or swipe right?
I mean, I'm going to swipe right. I think it sounds cool. I would love to talk to my dad. I'd love to talk to my grandmas. I'd love to talk to my grandpas. I would say yes. I'd love to do it.
No, too creepy for me.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I just think it's weird.
How does the voice work? How do they get the voice right?
I don't think they at least at this on this app, I just downloaded it today and asked my dad to send me some photos of like his grandparents and even like my grandma when she was younger. And I haven't used it yet, but I will upload it when I do. It doesn't look like it has the voices yet. It looks like it's just animating the faces to make them look like they're alive.
So, you know, they've got this new technology where conceivably you can store your entire intellect, beliefs, everything onto a hard drive and you can live on. I'm really interested in that because I would like to be doing this show in 40 years,
oh,
in
please.
50 years, in 60 years. It would be John, if you and I both did it, we could continue working long after we were gone.
You refuse to die, huh, Mace?
Yeah, no, I want to live
Mace,
on, man. I want to live on in some way.
Would the shows be original content or just repeats of stuff we'd already done?
It's a fair – well, artificial intelligence, always learning. So, no, I think it would be new stuff.
Game of games from the grave.
Of games from the grave.
I'll beat you guys like a drum, even after I'm dead.
John, you can't. By the way, you will be able to Google everything if you restore it on a hard drive.
Yeah,
like Michael.
It's
Michael
true.
Would be unbeatable.
It would be built in. It would be built into your brain already.
Yep.
You know, that makes me wonder, how are kids ever going to learn anything? Because even nowadays, they can cheat so easily by Googling anything like on their laptops
okay,
or
so
on their
Lindsay,
phones.
I happen to know the answer to this. My son was taking a test the other day, and I walk in, and he has to take it on a thing called a lockdown browser. And the way it works is you sign up for it. His college has a lockdown browser, and then the test starts, and you're on a time limit. But you can't leave the test. The browser locks you into the test, so you can't.
Sure, but what does that keep you from having your phone or your iPad right in front of you and just reading the question out loud and having it look it up for you immediately?
I mean, I guess you're on the honor system for that. But in terms of the computer you're taking the test on, you can only do it. The browser locks you down.
There's ways around that.
Juan is getting a degree right now at Penn State Online, and he says everything is hard AF. Despite the fact that, you know, you've got the internet and you've got Google and all that stuff,
funny
it's still
because,
really hard.
Yeah. Jack was taking this test and he had 90 minutes. I checked on him a couple of times and there were 43 questions and it was open note. He could look stuff up in his notes. He just couldn't Google it. And he only got to 41 of the 43 questions. That's how hard it was. He passed it. He got a B on it, but it was hard.
Sure, but who's to say that his notes couldn't be in his iPad, that he could literally, again, it just said, like, read, you know, put on your text or your Siri or whatever.
You're so suspicious. Not everybody is Michael Thompson.
I'm not saying everybody.
Not everybody is.
Actually, Lindsay, I appreciate your ingenuity on this, and I will pass it on.
Falsely accused.
I'm only curious as to how kids these days in general, because, like, if I could think of it right like that on a whim, I'm sure other kids are doing the same thing. It seems like it would be really easy to cheat these days.
Yeah, but
wait
a minute.
I
do this show for 3 hours every day. I still sound stupid, and I've got access to the internet.
And by the way, Lindsay, like, it depends how you do the test. Like, for example, it's my game today on Game of Games. I've come up with a game for you guys that is un-Googleable. It's a defense against Michael. He can't Google.
But I
still think Michael has an excellent chance to win this game.
That's right.
I think that the game is
We will find out. Has Michael ever won a game that he didn't Google on?
Hey, come on. What's all this false accusations? Making me feel like OJ over here.
I guess
they should make tests more about, more subjective
ideas.
instead of actual like remembering and reciting information, because that's the only way to do it. Okay, next one. In what has been called a Cinderella story, Oral Roberts University has made the Sweet 16 in NCAA March Madness. However, some people are cheering for the Christian University to be banned rather for them than them to win. The school has been mocked all over social media for its archaic standards of behavior and code of conduct, which bans profanity, gossip, drunkenness, social dancing, and even shorts in classrooms. But a columnist for USA Today suggested that the school should never have been allowed in the tournament in the first place due to its biblical position on sexuality. So the USA Today writer from For the Win is Himal Jaharvi. Mm-hmm. I apologize if I pronounce that wrong. And he argued in his Tuesday column that the university's deeply bigoted anti-LGBTQ plus policies can't and shouldn't be ignored. Okay, so in their student handbook, Oral Roberts specifically prohibits homosexuality. In their student conduct section, under the heading of personal behavior, the school condemns homosexuality, mentioning it in the same breath as occult practices. And also, part of their honor code, the university requires students to abide by a pledge saying they will not engage in homosexual activity and that they will not be united in marriage other than a marriage between a man and a woman.
Okay.
Do you agree that Oral Roberts should be banned from the tournament due to the university's outdated student handbook?
It's a fair question. I think once you go down this road, though, Mace, it becomes very difficult to be consistent. In other words, there's some antiquated laws on the books. There's some antiquated student handbooks. There's some things that haven't changed. I think if you were to kick them out based on a student handbook, then somebody's going to go through every student handbook in the country, and it's going to lead to a cavalcade.
Although she's talking specifically about one thing. Like, there's a bunch of stuff. I just pulled up the handbook. You know, there's, like, no nighttime jogging, no right. no social right. dancing, like all that kind of stuff. But the anti-LGBTQ stuff, is puts it into a different category. It really is not accepting of the LGBT community.
This is where I would draw the line. I would say if they were using the tournament in any way to promote that position, if they were, you know, wearing shirts or doing interviews or making it an issue while they played, I would then consider throwing them out. But if they're not, if they're just playing basketball, I can't assume that all the guys on the team support that position. So I don't think I would throw them out. But Mace, this is something that hits more home with you. What do you think?
Yeah, by the way, Oral Roberts' surprising NCAA tournament run shedding light on the school's homosexual activity ban and conversion therapy practices. So now all of a sudden you're down that road where you think you can convert gay people into being straight people. You know, it's a very sensitive issue, but it is a religious institution. And I think if they hold those beliefs, as reprehensible as they may be to people of the LGBT community, I still think that you're allowed to have those rules. Everybody signed up for that when they went to Oral Roberts. It's a Christian school, and they're going to follow Christian principles. So I wouldn't go there. I'm not going to root for them. I'd take some shine off their Cinderella story. But I don't think they should be banned from the tournament.
Okay, Lindsay, do you have one more? Or is that it?
I do have one more.
Okay.
Mike Tyson said that his fight with Evander Holyfield is still happening despite Holyfield's manager announcing on Monday that the bout was off. Tyson, who, remember, he's 54 now, he made the revelation during an Instagram live session with Hot Living on Tuesday. This was just hours after Holyfield's representative said Tyson turned down a deal reportedly worth $25 million to fight. Here is what Tyson said on the live stream.
I just want everybody to know, you know, the fight is on with me and Holyfield, and Holyfield's a humble man, I know that, and he's a man of God, but I'm God's man, and I'm, listen, and I'm going to be successful May 29th. Only thing we have to do is get some, a small fundamental difference, get some paperwork done, is on to the races with me and Evander.
So Tyson and the 58-year-old Holyfield have had some of the most memorable moments in boxing history, of course, included Tyson biting Holyfield's ear. Are you looking forward to watching Tyson Holyfield 3?
There is only one man who will be dumb enough to pay for this, and that man is Michael Thompson.
Wait a minute, I'll pay for it.
You got that right. I can't wait to see this. Because, see, Ireland, see, you got to look at this. This is not Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Two guys who are in their early 30s in their prime. You got to buy it, understanding that you're going to watch two old guys, two old competitors go at each other. It'll be fun.
Michael, yeah, I think
Roy
it'll be
Jones
fun too.
Fight. Wait a minute, guys. The Roy Jones fight was, it's like they had an agreement not to hurt each other.
Right, right.
It wasn't even a real fight.
That's kind of true. Yeah, Tyson was pulling his punches against a smaller man.
It all depends on the price. What is the price point for this fight?
Probably
let's
50
say it's $49.95.
$50. Yeah, that's nothing, Ireland.
You spend that for dinner every
night. You spend that for dinner every night.
Yeah,
Ireland.
But I get to eat the dinner. This thing's going to last 3 minutes and be boring.
No. This will last a few rounds. It'll be interesting to see if these guys will actually fight less if they think like they're 28 years of age. I can't wait
you
to see
You get to
this.
Eat the dinner, but he's going to eat your children.
Yeah,
that's
but
right,
yeah,
it'll bite your ears.
Lindsay, would you pay $50 for this thing?
I would, but, you know, yeah. I'm going to try and find my way around.
Yeah, you'll find
so
your way.
Well, Bergman will get a link, you know.
But
that.
If I, yeah, I always do. And I told Michael last time not to, you know, I'm not going to get into all that. But I would. If I had to, I would. I would definitely don't want to miss out. And this is something where I will be on, you know, watching and then having my phone or my computer in front of me, tweeting along with everybody else because it's can't miss TV. Yeah,
that's
yep,
right.
I completely agree. Yeah.
I'm all right, sure you had
Lindsay,
to miss it.
Thank you very much. There is your radio Tinder for today. I forgot. I'm out of practice. I've gone a couple of days, so I don't have my you-know-what together. Coming up next for you, Lakers stand pat at the trade deadline. What does it mean, and how far could they slide in the Western Conference standings? That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.